Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Friday. I can't believe it's Friday, but I missed, I guess, on Monday, so I should believe it's Friday. However, it is Friday. It's Questions Friday. It's starting to feel like fall. In the evenings, it's starting to get cold. I don't know where you live and what it's feeling like, but when I was away, it was really, really warm, and yesterday it was like 90 degrees, so I don't know. I don't know what Southern California is doing anymore, but it's really hot. So anyway, I hope you guys have a great weekend to come. I have quite a few questions, so we're going to get to them right away because that way at least I'll have time to answer them. So our first question, and this one is from Maureen Cook, and she says, just a thought, Nadia. Remember the friend whose birthday it was in your show and she was mad you were late? Have you thought about or did you ever let her know how you felt about that experience? Example, my feelings were hurt that you did not understand if I had an unexpected meeting. I put energy and time and really cared about you, et cetera, et cetera. In these situations, Nadia, I think if we do speak our truth, we open a door to find out what can happen and where the relationship is. It can either be accepted and maybe the person would feel and understand where you are coming from and then you could be closer because of it. That's how I like to believe things can turn out. Or we can just accept it and wait to see if and when the other person might understand all their own with or without our input. Can you give me some advice or insight into these situations? I don't know at times because I did this once. I told my friend I was hurt over something and that I needed space. And that also I know that she did not mean it and that her words and energy were because of her own personal issues. Time passed and I opened the door again, but there's no response from her now. Sad on one hand, because if I said nothing, we could still be having a good time. But on the other hand, through this, I see there is nothing. People cannot give what they do not have. I don't like the guessing games, but I am thinking because of all you share, I'm able to process and accept, even accept, I will never know all the truth details of another. Thanks. Sorry it got a bit lengthy. First of all, it's funny because that birthday that I went to last year just passed yesterday. It was her birthday again yesterday. Oh, I've seen her since. I just have not gone out with her because I did explain. Not only did I explained my whole way there. I called and said, you know what, I'm at Sunday school. You know what, this is taking some time. I have these new parents. They want to talk. And the whole way there, I'm at this light. I'll be there in 5 minutes, you know, 4 minutes, whatever. I was really just keeping in touch the whole way. So when I got there, I think I was a little surprised that she was so angry because I already told her why. I wasn't not communicating. I just couldn't get my body there fast enough. So either way, no, I wished her definitely a happy birthday. And, you know, I'll always say what's happening while it's happening because it's the obvious. It is exactly what's happening. What you don't say is going to be in the air until you say it. How many times did you end up somewhere where you knew you had to talk about something? Now, people associate that with criticism or insults or, wow, you're pretty forward, but they appreciate the truth. They may not look like they appreciate it now, but they do appreciate the truth. It might even make them mad because sometimes people don't want to know the truth, which is a whole nother story. But at the end of the day, it is appreciated and it is respected. Just like you have a friend that you said, maybe I need space or whatever it is. She may have taken that as rejection. You know, you could always say, I just need some time alone now. I'm going through something. You know, you can say it however you need to say it. But if a door closes as a result of you being honest, and not like hurtful honest, like you're this and you're, you know, that people associate such negative things to honesty, but just being honest, just saying, hey, you know what, this is hard for me, I this is hard for me to deal with. I'm trying to figure out how to do that. You know, even just talking to them, just saying, hey, you know what, can we go out for coffee and can we talk if you have the time to do that? But whatever it is you do, you will never have a downside to truth. If somebody isn't in your world because you told them the truth, then in a really weird way, they haven't really been in your world. Because if you can't have a place where you feel comfortable enough to be who you are, after a while, it gets exhausting being there. It just gets exhausting. Think about that. If you're around somebody who lies a lot, if you're just around someone who lies a lot, you get tired. It's like now your ears are always up, your antenna's always up. It's just you cannot hang on to anything. It's like everything's just an illusion. And that happens when relationships cannot live in a truth of who and what the relationship is. People, I know when I say we're hardwired to the truth, I remember there was a comment I read that Christopher Sedgwick wrote about, you know, makes us feel like mechanical or robotic, but it's an instinct. It's a pure instinct, and when that isn't around, nobody can hold on to anything. And what happens is, if you're around lies a lot, you stop listening. You literally can't hear, because now there is nothing to hold on to. So if you are lost, somebody doesn't want to be around you because you just said the truth for whatever it was, then that's just a sign. I mean, that's a clear-cut sign that that's not your place. People who are meant to be in our lives, they're there in whatever capacity, whatever it is they're teaching you, good, bad, or indifferent. If they're meant to be with you in some way or connect with you, they are. When the work is done, they are not. It's not about guessing games. It's not about acceptance or non-acceptance of things. It's that we instinctively are survivalists. We need to survive. So when we stay in situations that are repetitive or not honest, then we have to start asking ourselves questions. That's part of who we are as people. But the woman who did that, I love her to pieces. I get, you know, she never had children. That teaches you a lot, because there's things, you know, that you never thought you'd even have to think about, that you're forced to think about, and it takes you out of your own head at times. You don't have anyone to ever worry about or check on or see for, the, you know, your whole lifetime. And so all of that taken into consideration, do I love her? Yes. Did I say something? Yes. Did we talk about it? Yes. Was it weird? Yes. Saying the truth does feel weird at times because it's so darn direct compared to how we're taught to speak that it even shocks the speaker, like, oh, well, there I go. I just said it. But it feels so good because now there's nothing left to say but other real things. It does open the door. Real opens a door for more real. The lack of real opens a door for more of that. We do reap what we sow. We do get what we ask for in life. So these situations, when you speak, you know, the truth, it can open a door to find out, you know, where the relationship is. It does every time. And sometimes it might not be where you thought you were going with that person. But the truth will tell you the answer. The truth is nothing but an answer. Anything else will leave you unsettled Yes, you might be sad on one hand. You might miss people. But if you have people that you can't say the truth with, what do you have? Do you know how many people I have worked with who are either, you know, a celebrity or somebody who is, you know, known by other people? People want things from them that they can or can't give them. It depends. Who feel lonely in a crowded room because they don't know who really cares about them and who doesn't. Or if it's delusional, they don't know you, but they want you, and they've already painted the picture of who you are. But the person knows that that can't be true because they don't know them. So they feel lonely because people think they know you. They make entire stories up about you in their mind. But it's not true. So that person now is uncomfortable in those situations. So it's really interesting what we make a decision on and what we don't. But the truth should be making that decision for you. So I hope that that answers your question, because it's such a great question. And even to think that from a year ago to the day, literally was yesterday when I read this question. So very cool. Thank you, Maureen. The next question I have is from Marco. And this is something I discussed before, but I love discussing this because we forget that Earth is Earth, you know, and that we do go somewhere because, you know what, we're busy here. To think about home at this time, we'll get to think about it when we leave. I know it's intriguing. I know it's interesting. I know all of that. But keep our energy here because this is where we're at. And this is what we have to deal with in life at this time. So, and I love the question because I had these questions so many times. And then I realized, wait a minute, though. That stuff I'm veiled from, or we're generally veiled from, because concentrating on something that isn't here takes away from what we're doing here, but at the same time, it helps us balance here. So there's a lot of advantages for just knowing, or at least having some information about where we go. But it really, seeing Christ reminded me that, you know what, you came here to do something, so pay attention, because I didn't want to for a while when things get hard. I try to believe that I'm somewhere else. But here it is. Good morning, good afternoon, everyone. I have a question. For example, can we share our emotions by kissing? Can we also share our emotions at home because we have nobody over there? And I really had to think about that because we don't have bodies when we leave. What happens when we leave? We leave our body here. We don't need it to go with us. It's only the body that keeps us here. It grounds us to earth. We can't fly in it. We can't move in it. We can move in it physically, but we can't transport ourselves. You know, to move our soul from one place to another, we have to put it in a car. We have to put it in a plane. We have to put it on a bike. We have to put it on a walk. You know, all these things that, you know, we have to do to make these things happen. So when we go home, and we are free of the body and we're released, we don't share by kissing because we don't have mouths or faces. However, our soul will, and this is the coolest thing, it will flow through another soul. We just like fly through each other, like almost like we intersect in and out of each other. And the reason we do that is, let's say I meet one of you, or we meet each other at home, and you go through me, or I go through you, what that does is it gives each other's data. Like everything I have ever done, you will know just by floating through me, and I will know you. I don't pick up your experiences because I didn't evolve to them, but I will know them, and you will know mine. There's no words. We just know each other. And that knowing is the greatest feeling of being home is to understand the other souls, and that's how we do it. So here I can choose what to tell you, and I can choose what not to tell you. But at home, when you flow through me, you're just going to know everything. You're going to know everything I did anywhere, not just on Earth, anywhere. There's other places we go. But again, that's something that is left with a big question mark on Earth for a reason. One, it keeps our focus here while we're here. But another one is it keeps our interest in something greater. And so it really serves two purposes. But I know when we're lonely here, and believe me, I feel that so much, you know, through so many young people, it's amazing, that feeling of loneliness. People who, you know, in the past by now would have been married in a different time, and now it's like they can't even find somebody. And they don't even know, honestly, if they want to be with somebody because that, you know, they got so used to being alone and so used to wanting that they almost don't know how to have it. It's a very interesting phenomenon I'm finding now. There's some that for, you know, they just find people through work or however they found somebody. But if you're just out in the world and you don't have a specific place to actually find people, it's becoming this whole thing when Christ said we are genderless, but we're still feeling human beings. And so we do have to find ways to do it. I know the internet is one way. I know some people, you know, try through Facebook, through social media. But we are still physical human beings. But at home, we are not. So to answer the question, do we do that at home? No, we don't need to. Is it the ultimate here? Yes, as far as we know. But there is a bigger picture. And it's interesting, as I've grown in life and I accept myself in certain ways and I feel good just feeling good, or I've accepted that whatever, my life is this way, these are my kids, this is what I do, all of those things. I don't feel compelled, I want to say. I don't know how to explain this. It's not the physical thing. I think it's that once I got into that love is love is love, and I love people, I feel fulfilled from that, if that makes sense. The love of myself, I realized, didn't have to be such a big transformation. It just was accepting me and going through all the stuff I didn't accept and accepting it one thing at a time. And as I learned how simple that was, how fulfilling that is, that when I meet people now, I feel differently about them. I feel differently about what I think I want from them, what I think I need from them. It evolved. It grew into this place that I'm still discovering. And I ask questions of people in relationships. And even when I am in relationship, I ask these questions of myself that, you know, what do we want from each other? Because once you get in a relationship, let's say, and the person lies and you say, well, why would you lie in a relationship that you want? It doesn't make sense. Or why would you cheat in a relationship that you want? Why do you set it up to play all that out when the beautiful things we can share are available to us to share? And so I'm asking big questions of love right now as to why we put ourselves in these positions of just plain agony once we get in and love someone. Because those are the people that end up coming to me, is they don't understand those questions in this day and age with this much pressure. But right now we have bodies. And for men and women, you know, there's periods of time we go in our lives where we do want to share physically. And that part is the part we want to make bigger somewhere else so that we can feel like we will never miss it. And so we want to think that home will give us this. I know even in the Quran it says you will get so many virgins and all this stuff once you get home. And I don't know the exact quote, so don't ever quote me on that. It's just something I heard, and I thought that's an odd thing to promise men when they go home. And this is way before I saw Christ. So once I realized that we don't even have bodies at home, we don't kiss anybody, we don't hug anybody, we don't need that, and we are genderless. Let alone here we have genders, we have different bodies because it forces us to connect, it forces us to challenge, it forces us to face things. It's a whole different story. But, you know, I know how lonely it is here, and I see that Francis wrote in the chat, is that due to lack of community? I meant the loneliness. The loneliness is tough. I have to say I have just seen so many beautiful people that if they just met other beautiful people, that they would be able to share that. And yet, one of the challenges of our time is, how do you meet them? How do you meet them? We're married to our technology in such a way that physically meeting people, let alone having physical relationships, for somebody who's dating or alone, really feels like a huge mountain to climb. And the best advice I can give people is get out into the world and do what you love, and you will find other people who are doing what they love, and at that point you will meet them. But no one's going to walk up to your house, ring your doorbell, and say, I'm here for you. They're not going to know you exist. So you have to make your presence known in life to meet people to share that presence. That's, I think, the only real way. Or you can go through dating sites, and you have to really check out the dating site and make sure, you know, you get the kind of people you're looking for. It's truly a challenge. It's one of the biggest challenges of our time. I know many people who are alone and just live alone and enjoy what they do all day, enjoy their routine. They found a way to deal with it. But there's other ways we can reach out. We can find each other, but we do have to look for each other now. That's a fact. We do have to do that. It's interesting. Life really has changed, and we will see in the coming years how we all deal with this part of it. So I hope that answered your question, Marco, and thank you and Christopher for all of the conversation you had. It is truly that question of physical versus emotion, and it's actually both. On earth it is physical and emotion, and at home it is truly just the way it is. It's an absoluteness. So I have a question also from Paul Clark, and he says, how do I see the bigger picture? And I have to say, out of all the things Paul had asked me, what question don't you get to answer? And my answer was that nobody asks me about the bigger picture. Everyone has an immediate issue that they want to deal with. And I get that, because daily that's what we do. But sometimes when we can take ourselves out of that immediate, question, or position that we're in, and look at the bigger picture. Like, hey, you know what? I'm 20, 30, 40 years old. I've been through this much life by now. Where am I going? What do I want for myself? If I were, like, back home looking down at myself, would everything feel so hard? Or would I say, just go here, or just do this, or just do that? If I did go back home, once I leave, and, you know, we all know what happens. We get home and we immediately see everything we've done in our life, and we see the trail of everyone we have affected one way or another, helping them, not helping them, sharing with them, not sharing with them, telling them the truth and seeing how far the truth traveled, telling them something that wasn't true and seeing how it stopped the energy. You know, people we've exchanged energy with on a regular basis, people that we just ran into, and how we see it all in a flash. The bigger picture. And when we ask ourselves, how would this look in the bigger picture? The fact that maybe today I don't feel like doing anything, but I'm going to hopefully harness my energy and have that energy to do tomorrow. Or why am I not so motivated? Or why am I too motivated and I'm driving everybody nuts? But to look at your life in a bigger light gives you objectivity as to who you are as a person. Because the biggest question I get is, what am I here to do? And I know the person knows, but sometimes it's so big, so real, so huge, so loving that they don't even know if they can do it. So they hide it. But if you say, I naturally love to be around people, find places to be around people. I naturally love to be quiet. Find great books to read. Find things you can do when you're quiet. I naturally love to raise children. Maybe you don't have children. Find a way to work with them and help them and nurture them. If you love technology, find a way to give back to the world through technology. Every single thing we can think of, there is an outlet for. And if there isn't an outlet for it, create it. Because if you can see it, it needs to be done. The bigger picture, instead of it being a micro, my life, what I want, we grow our lives by seeing where we can take our lives. We're not here generally to hide from what life can offer us. We're here to participate in life at this time in our history. And the challenges are many. You know, I found that when, you know, let's say people have money and they have a lot of money. You know, one of the saddest things I found out about them is because they have money, they feel like they're not entitled to have a problem. Because why should they? Everything's financially taken care of. And what happens to them is they hide the emotional problems until they're so big they become public in one way or another. And so when I work with people who have that mentality, I have to work with them to feel like they have a right to feel what they are feeling, because it has nothing to do with the money. That's what Christ says all the time. And believe it or not, I have that's so, I want to say so young, to teach them about injured love, to teach them about acceptance, self-worth. And people who don't have much money, they feel a lot and they work differently and they at least feel they know what their problem is and they think that the money will solve everything. And sometimes it does, it'll solve some things, the physical thing. Reality of that love, that feeling like, well, I have this issue and I'm going to take it on. We take what's on the outside and we tell ourselves how we can feel about life when really it's what's on the inside that projects onto the outside. It's really interesting how God gave us all the challenges we need to be the people we need to be. So just look at the bigger picture. In a year, what do I want to say about my life? In 5 years, what do I want to say about my life? You guys, my time is up already. Have a great weekend. I will see you Monday morning. Take care. I love you guys so very much. Bye.
You have been listening to today's Daily Dose of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show. To learn more, visit www.